This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. In addition to the proposed regulation governing waters of the United States, the Environmental Protection Agency and U.S. Army Corps of Engineers issued an interpretive rule that will govern how normal farming exemptions contained in Section 404 of the Clean Water Act are interpreted. This rule was effective upon issuance, although the agencies have solicited comment on its provisions. The interpretive rule issued by EPA and the Corps makes fundamental changes in how the exemptions for normal agricultural activities at established farms will be applied and enforced. Contrary to assertions by proponents of the rule, AFBF believes this rule narrows how the exemptions are applied and will increase liability for farmers. AFBF also disagrees with the characterization of the rule as an interpretive rule that can be issued without advanced public notice and comment. AFBF submitted new comments on the interpretive rule, which supersede comments filed June 6th. New federal regulations are soaking up states' authority over natural resources and hurting hardworking farming and ranching families, Utah Farm Bureau CEO Randy Parker recently told the House Natural Resources Committee's Subcommittee on Water and Power. Parker addressed the Forest Service's continued effort to expand authority and control of waters that flow in, through, and over public lands. In the agency's proposed groundwater directive, the United States Forest Service threatens to control surface and groundwater by considering all waters interconnected in all agency planning activities. The proposed directive not only asserts federal supremacy of state waters on national forest system land, but lands adjacent to federal lands. Mo Yun, wife of billionaire Chinese seed company founder Xiao Zhenhu, faces one count of conspiracy to steal trade secrets. The investigation of Yun and six other Chinese nationals began after Yun's brother and another man were caught in a newly planted cornfield in Iowa in 2011. According to the investigation, the group was attempting to steal inbred seedlings and mature ears of corn from DuPont, Pioneer, Monsanto, and LG Seeds. Court papers show Yun is involved in at least some of the planning, as her and her brother discussed the types of seeds to take and the potential of purchasing farmland back in 2007. In the spirit of grilling season, the Purdue Extension and the Indiana Beef Council have created a website to offer safety tips for cooking beef. According to Jolena Waddell, co-developer of the website, the number one key we're trying to push on the food safety side is using a meat thermometer. Additionally, the site offers tools for consumers to educate themselves on the different cuts of beef available in stores. Waddell stated that this is really a resource for those consumers to educate themselves on where a cut comes from, how we use the entire carcass, and how we should handle certain cuts of meat. The agriculture industry continues to wait for the Federal Aviation Administration to institute regulations for the safe integration of unmanned aircraft systems into the National Airspace System. The Federal Aviation Administration recently released a notice of interpretation of the special rule for model aircraft, clarifying the difference between a hobby use and non-hobby use of unmanned aircraft systems, or drones. The American Farm Bureau Federation's R.J. Carney explained that this clarification means for farmers and ranchers in Tuesday's newsline. If a farmer just wants to use an unmanned aircraft system to view crops or a field that their family are going to consume, they can utilize that technology, according to Carney. But UAS may no longer be used on commercial farming operations, according to the FAA. On July 1, an Iowa ethanol plant produced the first gallons of cellulosic ethanol using the fiber of corn kernels. According to Delane Johnson, CEO of Quad County Corn Processors in Galva, Iowa, the new technology is inserted halfway through the ethanol-making process, cutting out any difficult transportation logistics. Johnson hopes that the technology will be licensed to other plants to help increase the efficiency of their facilities, seeing as that it has the ability to produce triple the amount of corn oil. According to Johnson, if every plant that's currently processing corn in the United States would adopt the technology, it would add 1 billion gallons of cellulosic ethanol to our fuel stream here in the United States without processing any more corn. The National Federation of Independent Business recently reported that its Small Business Optimism Index fell 1.6 points to 95 last month. The decline was seen in six of NFIB's 10 indicators due to less confidence in future business conditions. While the overall index pulled back from a six-year high, two categories, job creation and unfilled job openings, improved. Americans don't eat a third of the food they produce. But while this shocking statistic might alarm consumers, many still don't see themselves as part of the problem and mistakenly believe that food waste is less damaging to the environment than other things we throw away, according to a new survey. U.S. Senate approval of Darcy Vedder's nomination as chief U.S. agricultural trade negotiator is a win for American agriculture, said AFBF President Bob Stallman in a statement on Thursday. Vedder brings a wealth of well-rounded expertise in the trade arena to the position, including tenures with the Agriculture Department, Office of the U.S. Trade Representative, and the Senate Finance Committee. Food for Peace celebrated 60 years of successful foreign food aid with a dinner in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday night. The honorary co-hosts, Senators Debbie Stabenow of Michigan and Thad Cochran of Mississippi, were joined by distinguished keynote speakers, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, and U.S. Agency for International Development Administrator Dr. Rajiv Shah. The idea of Food for Peace began in 1953 when a Kansas farmer and member of the Cheyenne County Farm Bureau came up with the idea of providing post-World War II foreign aid in the form of food rather than money. After Kansas legislators helped to draft a foreign aid resolution and send it up the ladder, President Dwight D. Eisenhower signed the program into law. Since its beginning, Food for Peace has served over 3 billion people in more than 150 countries. In 2013 alone, the program supplied roughly $1.4 billion in food aid to 46 countries and $577.6 million in grants to 29 countries under the Emergency Food Security Program. The House was expected to vote on H.R. 4718 on Friday. The legislation would make 50% bonus depreciation permanent. The bill also expands bonus depreciation to include trees and vines that bear fruits or nuts. Farm Bureau supports H.R. 4718 and is seeking language to add fruit-bearing bushes to the list of businesses' expenditures eligible for bonus depreciation. Bonus depreciation is one of the 50-plus tax provisions that expired at the end of 2013. The Senate Finance Committee passed a package in April that contains a two-year extension for 2014 and 2015 of all the expiring provisions, including bonus depreciation. That bill, S-2260, the Expiring Provisions Improvement Reform and Efficiency Act of 2014, has been blocked from consideration by the full Senate because of a procedural disagreement over amendments. People are entitled to have any view regarding canine nutrition and put it into practice, provided that no harm is done. In the U.S. pet market, grain-free food is a very popular trend at the moment. Well-formulated, grain-free foods provide good nutrition for dogs. However, it is reprehensible to reject grains using false arguments, asserted Anton Benyon in his latest All About Feed column. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.